Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hi. Welcome to Travel Advice. I'm Chris Newton and my co-host, Jerry Fuller. Hi, how you doing, Jerry?
Fantastic. How are you?
Oh, doing very well. Very well. Excellent. I'm excited about this show. Yeah, this is, we're going to, our topic today, we're going to talk about China and the Far East, different areas. Oh, looks like we have our guest. We have special guest, Dr. Linda Rothstein from the University of Utah here. And I can pick
yes. Up. Hi. How is everyone this evening?
Very good, Linda.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm excited. Yep. This is a great topic. One of my favorites.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, Linda. Thank you for being on the show. And we're talking about China and the Far East today. And
Well, let me ask you a question, Linda.
Yes.
If you were going to go to China your first time, when would you go and what would you do?
Well, the first time that I went to China, I went in May, and I have been since in May, June, July, and as well as October. Uh-huh. And I would tell you that May and October is my favorite time.
I agree with you 1,000%.
During the summer, if you get there in July, it's a lot of rain and a lot of heat and humidity.
And dust in the western part.
Yes. In Beijing, I also find that it's just so crowded and just so hectic.
I know. The interesting part about China in the summer is I think most people think that China is one, I don't think people realize China is as big as it is and that it covers so many climatic zones that they think most of it is like Beijing where it's cold and bitterly cold in the winter, so they just want to get there in the summer. So 90% of people go, as you say, June, July, and August.
Well, and I think, I've been to the Great Wall almost every time that I've been to China, and during June and July, it is so crowded on the Great Wall, you can hardly move. If they do end up going in June and July, I would stay away from the bottling section of the Great Wall just because that's where everyone goes and it gets so crowded.
Right, right. What would you do your first trip to China if you thought you'd only go one time? What would be the top four, whatever, number that you'd have to visit?
Okay. I would, first of all, anyone who goes to China must go to the Great Wall just because it is just such an awesome experience. You have no idea until you're standing on the top of it. I think Chris has been to the Great Wall with me and might share on that experience as well. I would also say that if you like history and you like to, experience that historic significance, I would go to Xi'an because Xi'an is the original capital of China and 2,000 years ago. And it has the original city walls, which are massive. There's a lot of history in Xi'an. You can visit some of the tombs, of course, and see the terracotta warriors. But there's a lot of entertainment there and a unique opportunity to explore the arts and the music of China.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me interrupt just a second on Xi'an. When I first went to Xi'an back in the late 19.
You're trying to age yourself, Jerry.
Well, I went to Xi'an my first time, I think it's 1979. And in those days, they didn't have the catwalks or buildings or anything. You actually walked amongst the anthropologists, and you actually helped them dig, and you watched them categorize them and everything.
Wow.
And that was the first time I went, and now, of course, it's changed 1,000,000,000%. But all of China has changed so much in the last, 10 years.
Yes.
It is unreal. So you go to Beijing and you go to Xi'an. Where else would you recommend you have to see your first trip?
The first trip, I would probably, if you're into the environment at all, and no one really knows about this wonderful gem, but I would suggest going to Zhangjiajie in western Hunan province. Mm-hmm. It is equivalent to Zion and Bryce Canyon rolled in one. It's just an incredible, wonderful environmental experience, and it's mostly just visited for domestic tourists. you won't see very many international tourists there, but they have just a variety of different things to see and do, the hikes and the walking. The views are just spectacular. Mm-hmm. I have some of my most beautiful pictures from there.
Wow.
And so I highly recommend that. Or Jiaoguizhou, which is in Sichuan province, is also another national park that is just phenomenal. And most Americans or most people in other countries don't even know about these two beautiful national parks.
I know. It's because the country is so big, the only famous places are the ones we've been hearing about all these years, like even in World War II and before and during the missionary time in the 1800s. And the thing that, you know, I agree with you. China is absolutely spectacular. I think that, would you put, as a first-time visit, must go to Kuilin?
I would say yes. That would be a wonderful place to go to as well. I mean, it's hard to pick just a few because I've been to so many places. But I think, you know, if you can, that's another beautiful. Guilin is just beautiful.
The reason that I like to recommend Guilin is because as you get on that boat down there and they start this trip on this boat, and then you come to these mountains, in my opinion, I think that's the only place in China that to me looks like what I think China should look like. And most of the artwork and things show these mountains, these jagged, magnificent peaks. And I it's absolutely the most beautiful sight in China, I think. As you go on that boat and you head toward Guilin, you see these beautiful peaks.
Well, and Guilin has the same type of limestone, I think they're limestone towers that Zhangjiajie has. And that's on the Li River, I believe. And it's just a wonderful experience. In fact, I think a recent movie came out that was filmed there.
Really?
Yes. It's just, I remember seeing it, but I can't tell you the movies. I don't get to see that many movies.
Okay. I know, and I don't either. But, yeah, I think those places you mentioned are wonderful. Some places that I find quite unique about China is up in northern China, like in Harbin and going west toward Mongolia. What they call Inner Mongolia, because Mongolia is out of Mongolia, and this is Inner Mongolia. Have you had a chance to visit that area yet?
I have not. I have not spent that much time in northern China. Most of what I've done is central, western China, and southern part of China.
Yeah, but that's the most famous part. I mean, you can spend your 50 trips in just the areas you're talking about. And it's actually about my 35th trip to China that I went to Harbin. And up in that area, spent about a week, 10 days up there. And it's just fabulous. I mean, just so unique. It's much like outer Mongolia. And very mountainous and long-haired cattling yak type things. And it's very different, very unique. And most people don't go there because they've never heard of it, just as you mentioned about the other places down the southern part. But, yeah, China's it's a gem. Have you noted how many years ago did you first go to China?
About? The first time I went was in 1999.
Okay, and so have you noticed a big change in transportation and accommodations and food and cleanliness?
Tremendous changes.
Yeah.
I think most people will be surprised by how modern the cities of China are and how accommodating the lodging is in China.
They even have refrigerators in the room in the more luxurious hotels.
Yes, and they will take very good care of you. I mean, every time I've been there, I am just amazed about how things are. Yet, right next to where you see this beautiful high-rise building, the skyscraper going in, they still respect the history and the scenic beauty, and you'll find a beautiful garden right next to it. I mean, it's just amazing. And even their skyscrapers are built to be graceful.
Yes.
And they don't call it feng shui there, but I would say feng shui is the best way I can explain it, because they're always seeking for a building that draws power and draws energy and gives you good qi. And so it's just amazing to see the buildings.
I know. It's something else. I want to ask
ahead.
One. Let me ask you a question. And please disagree with me if you want, because I want your honest opinion. When people ask me if they should combine China with, say, Japan, Korea, and or Hong Kong, and or Taiwan, and or Thailand, etc. I tell them no. I say, do China and don't do anything else. Maybe Hong Kong, either coming and or going, but nothing else. Do not do the other Asian countries on the east side. Do you agree with that or disagree?
I do. I do agree completely with that. It's, you have so much to see in China. China, there's such diversity within the country that you can go from a different province to another province and you feel like you're in a totally different country.
Well, you are, not only with language and food and terrain. I mean, the Western China is nothing like Shanghai or Beijing. I mean, even Northern China, like Harbin, is so different. And the food, have you noticed all the different kinds of foods in the different provinces and areas?
The food.
Do you have a favorite?
And, oh my, I don't know if I have a favorite.
But I do. I
love
Szechuan. I like the Szechuan food best. I like all of it because it's very good food, healthy. But I like the Szechuan best. I think.
I enjoy the Peking duck in Beijing there. The duck in Beijing was really good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. You have to have Peking duck in Beijing. You got it at once. But, it's amazing how much food they give you, too. Have you noted that, too, Linda?
Oh, yes. You'll never starve while you're in China, that's sure. And the interesting thing is that if you go in, and if you travel with a tour group in China, though, I must warn people, if you travel with a tour group, they will tend to serve you what they think Americans or what Westerners want for food. And what you must do is convince the restaurant or your tour guide. They speak wonderful English, and so you need to convince them that you want to try their specialties.
Yeah.
When I took the group that Chris went with me in 2004 on a study abroad group to China from the University of Utah, I had to tell the tour guides every time, and I have to tell the restaurants, we don't want the typical meal. We want an honest-to-goodness meal that you would serve here in this province so that you could really enjoy it.
I know, because it's almost, the first time I went to China was by mistake in 1976, and the plane broke down on the way between Islamabad to Tokyo, and it had a stop in Peking in those days. And it's illegal, I guess, for Americans to go there. But I ended up going there because the plane stopped there to let people off, and it broke down. And we had to stay 3 days, 4 days there. And as a result, I was stunned how Chinese was, because you can tell the difference between the men and the women. They wore the same clothes, either gray, blue, or black. And they wore their hairs in ponytails or pigtails, And the food was just edible. You didn't know what you were eating, but it was scary to eat, and you were afraid you were going to get sick. But now, I think people are going to be stunned at how modern China is. Aren't you amazed
at how
modern?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
The transportation is wonderful where you go in China, and it's easy to access places. Most of the people speak English, or at least a little bit of English. All the children speak English, so if you can't communicate with an adult, find a child, because their English is brilliant, and they love it. And
they all have Walkman, and they all in the big city they dress like Westerners and lipstick, and it's amazing how they're changing.
The fashion, especially on if you go near the eastern shore or along the coastal areas, very fashion conscious in the cities and along there. When you get a little bit further west, you'll see more of the traditional dress and style of clothing among the older people. But it's just wonderful that China, I think, is a wonderful bargain. I do want to make sure I explain that. I think compared to what you spend when you travel in Europe or you spend when you travel to Japan, what you spend in China, you get a great value for your dollar. First of all, it's a great exchange. But, they give you such huge amounts of food for very little money. They will treat you. I mean, you get a great body massage for $10 or $20. You can get a wonderful foot massage for $10.
I know.
And almost all the hotels have that service. Yeah, I'm amazed by that. A lot, you know, they're so close to get a massage. Yeah, that's great.
Well, let me ask this. Let me ask this. Have you noted on the train travel, especially going when I first went to China, and I did train travel, it was really an experience. They would just throw their peanut shells on the floor. They sit on the floor of the train, and it was. They did it, and I always just felt like, oh, I'm going to get hepatitis or something. Have you found it getting cleaner and everything else in China in your train travel?
I have not encountered anything that I would say is shocking to me when I've traveled. I've gone on the train. I would say this much is flying on domestic air in China it's safe. And the trains are safe, but I would say don't rush to get off the plane at the end.
I know. That's a fact.
You know, everybody is like,
say that.
They all rush to get off the plane, and I'm like, I'll just sit in my seat and wait till everybody gets off. And
I know, it's a mad rush. You know, that's that way all the way to that part of the world, all the Central Asian countries, like even Uzbekistan and Tajikistan and even eastern Siberia, it's in the Russian part of Siberia. They just seem, they can't, I guess because they've had such horrible plane records of crashing and killing people, they're so glad to get off alive, I think they just rush off. Because they do. It's like a mob, isn't it? Well, let me ask this question. Go ahead.
Well, I was also going to mention, you know, anyone that's out there, my favorite thing about China is the shopping. I mean, we go out here and we buy things here in America, and we all joke about everything being made in China. Those kinds of things that we buy at the Walmart or whatever, you're not going to find those in China for the most part.
I know.
But what you do find the jade and the pearl and the silk and the embroidery and the paintings. It's just tremendous, the shopping opportunities and the bargain on, I mean, the carpets and everything. It's just wonderful, and it's so inexpensive compared to, I mean, and I say that honestly, you know, you can go out there and you can buy things that would probably cost several hundred dollars here in America. You could buy for $75 or $80.
I know.
Top quality pearl necklaces. I'm wearing jade today that, you know, I'm just amazed. I bought it for, I think less than $100. And when I got back, I wanted to get it insured to a jewelry store. And the gentleman said, you know, he wanted to know how much I paid for it. And he said, I wouldn't insure it for a dime less than $1,000.
Wow.
And I'm like wow. You know, he was just like, this is top quality. So I think if you like to shop, if you like to eat, if you like history, if you just like to watch people or the environment, China has it all. I'm just amazed. I mean, we don't think about, you know, we only think about the culture so much when we think about China and the history, but there's so much more to China than just that. You know, just going to some of the parks on a early morning and watching the people exercise or play their traditional instruments or playing mahjong. It's just a wonderful experience. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I enjoyed doing that. When I stayed in Beijing with your group, with the study abroad group from the University of Utah, and seeing the Tai Chi, you know, the form of movement, it looked like the people were like in their 80s and 90s in the park, and they had their little bird cage too. They have a bird.
You know,
with them as their companion or something. Yeah, and I that was really great. It was so relaxing just to sit in that park and just relax. But I just, the hospitality of Chinese, a lot of the culture, the people, was amazing when I was there. Like, I met so many really, you know, they really wanted to help you and have the best experience possible in China. You know, it was, like, very important for them for you to really enjoy yourself. Yeah, you know, so.
But I want to spend just a little bit on some of the, and not a lot, but a little bit of time on some of the other parts of Asia that's in the eastern part. And
sure.
Have you Linda been to any of the countries like Taiwan or Korea or Japan or Hong Kong or Philippines?
Japan is the only other country there I have been to in any recent years. It's been I want to go to Vietnam myself, but you know, some experiences in Japan. You probably have a great deal of experience there, I'm sure, in your vast number of travels.
Well,
what's your favorite place in Japan?
Well, I met, my wife is American, but we met in Japan at the base of Mount Fuji.
Oh, Japan, many times.
And she lived in Japan 5 years, in Korea a year. And we've been to those countries many times. I've been there probably 20 times each. And I lived in Hong Kong and in the Philippines and have been to those countries numerous times since. And well, I find each of those countries very, very different. And that you need to spend time in them because they're so unique and different. And they all, and as we were talking about China, because I'm glad we started with China, we'll end with China, but I wanted, there's so much of the feeling of China in these countries. I mean, similar type language, similar type food, similar type culture, and it's magnificent. And the same, you go the same time of the year. October is my favorite time to go to Asia, period, if I had only 1 month, because the monsoons are over and it hasn't gotten super hot or anything like that yet. But I wanted to mention also about Far East Russia. This is an area that many, many people are starting to realize exists. And I think they ought to know not to not consider it. All the way from Pevek, which is way up north in the top, where there's billions of birds and all kinds of animals, all the way down to Magadan, and as you work your way down to the different islands. And so the Far East Russia is another type of Asia, which is more Mongolian. It's more European Mongolian than Japanese, Chinese, Korean type of appeal. But I really recommend that people, when they go to these areas, to specialize in it. The only part that I recommend, what we were talking about, when you go to China, only do China. And I really, truly believe that. When you do, you can easily do Japan and Korea in a trip, and maybe Japan, Korea, and Hong Kong on a trip. Or you could do easily Southeast Asia. You could do Thailand and Vietnam, Cambodia, and Burma, Rangoon. You can do that in one trip. It's no problem. But some of these countries you need to go back to because, as you know, Linda and Chris, the first time you go to China, you just wet the palate. It's just amazing how phenomenal it is to go there. Did you find your visit to Hong Kong interesting, Linda?
I did. I found it very interesting, a little overwhelming for such a – I'm a small town girl. But quite
it
is different. But, you know, one of the things that I was going to mention, Jerry, that I think helps me a lot is when I travel, I always try to take advantage of an opportunity to meet the locals. I mean, I'll take time to talk to them. And it's just amazing how much they will step out to show you around and to make sure that you're having a wonderful time. I know that when the one time I was in Japan and I was wanting to go to Mount Fuji, all right, and there's always lots of groups that will take you to Mount Fuji. But I was talking to a local in Tokyo, and I was just wandered into this travel agency in Tokyo, and I said, you know, I want to go to Mount Fuji, but I want a real Japanese experience. I don't want the Americanized or the Western travel experience. They really made sure that I had a wonderful experience, and it was very economical for Japan, which I thought was a little expensive, but I can't say that we stayed in a regular type of a Japanese lodging.
Like a ryokan?
Yes, that's how you say it.
Ryokan. Well, you need to stay in these ryokans when you go to Japan. You really need to experience that. Because it's the way you do it.
And it's a great opportunity because your host will sit down and they'll talk to you. And my host actually ended up spending the day hiking with me because they didn't want me to hike up to Mount Fuji by myself.
Well, you know, you can do it.
You know,
I climbed it by myself.
Oh, and I know, but they was like, yeah. A woman, you know. They were like going, oh. And so but they ended up being like my family for the day.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
I know. Yeah, it's, I mean, all these countries are magnificent. They're all so different, but yet they're very similar. And, oh, I wanted to ask you one more thing about China. If you, we talked about the places people should visit their first time, but if you, now having been to China numerous times, and maybe it's an area that you've never been, is there an area of China that you personally love going back to or would go to in a heartbeat if you've not been because of research or whatever that you really love?
I want to go to in a heartbeat that maybe I haven't been to?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Well,
or a place that you've been to and you make sure every time you go there again. Either
okay.
One of those.
Well, there... I will say that one of my favorite places, and it's not a specific place, but I love the Chinese gardens. And in Shanghai, they have the Yew Gardens.
Right.
And Suzhou, they also have a lot of gardens there as well. But any time that I'm there, I always like to take time to visit one of the traditional gardens because you can have a very hectic, fast-paced day. And
right.
If you just take in the middle of the afternoon and you take an hour or two and just sit down with your journal. I like to write in a journal when I'm traveling. And just take the time to let China invade your inner spirit, so to speak, as you sit there and imagine, you know, I find it's a place that I can just gain such inner peace and have a time to really think. So every time I go to Shanghai, I always go to the Yew Garden, and I always have, afterwards, I go to this little restaurant nearby, and I have the traditional steamed buns, and that makes my trip every time I go to Shanghai.
Fabulous.
You know, and I mean, even Chris will say that the day that we went, I took the group to the gardens, I just kind of disappear because it's like my own little sacred place.
Right.
Well, I know I know about what you mean by the gardens because they're absolutely serene, I guess is the word to use. They're different than the English or the Italian gardens. They're similar in some way, but they're very different because I don't think the English gardens, Italian gardens, are as serene, if that's the term to use, as the Chinese gardens. Do you, or have you been to those gardens in Italy? And
I have, but I would say that the gardens in China, especially the more historic traditional gardens, there are so many places that even though there's tourists everywhere and people, you know, busy rushing here and there, and you can maybe hear the city outside the walls of the garden. Inside, all of a sudden, you find this little place, and it's like your place.
I know.
It's like, you know, how they ever came up with this where you can just feel totally alone and at peace with earth this place. You know, they know how to do it.
I know. That's why I call it serene. That's the only word I can think of. It's just, you can just get away from everything when you go to those gardens. And I think you've got a
great point.
Do you have a favorite thing you like to do when you go to China, Jerry?
Well, my favorite thing to do is I like to walk the streets. I make sure that I have the hotel that I'm staying in on one of their cards in Chinese. Write down in English the name of the thing, and also in Chinese, and I just start walking. I know sometimes I'll probably end up getting killed. I don't think in China, but
no.
I just walk. I will go down the weirdest streets. I go in the local shops where everybody is, and I just don't pay any attention whatsoever, and I might walk for 5 hours and just go and write with the people. And then whenever I need to go back to where my hotel is, I have to find a taxi of some sort, and just give them the card because the part that I'm in, they just don't speak much English. And it's so basic. And so they get me back to my hotel. But I love that. I like just walking. And
that's a great idea.
And I like listening to the local music because many places in China, you will hear music coming out of different stores, out of houses and things. And I'll just stand outside and listen. Because I love the Chinese music. But I do that all over the world. I end up walking no matter where I am in something, at least an hour or two or sometime almost everywhere I go because I love it.
And that's the best way to find out. I mean, and people should know anywhere. That's a great technique anywhere you go is to make sure you get the card from the hotel and then go out and have a good time, enjoy yourself, and, mm-hmm. you know, don't worry about where you're at so much. And I think China is incredibly safe. I mean,
I do too.
You can't be stupid about things and carry your wallet exposed and so forth.
Right.
But it's still an incredibly safe place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And people will, you know, I can walk into a store and, as I said, if I find that the adults don't speak Chinese, one time I was in a store and the lady didn't speak English, rather, and I saw a small child in the back watching cartoons on TV, and I mm-hmm. called to them in English. They came out and translated for me. So, you know, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. Try. You know, that's the part you remember the longest.
Oh, I know it. Oh, my word, I just noticed. I think our time is about up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think that went by pretty quick.
See what happens when you're having a good time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we all love having you, Linda. You're very refreshing.
I appreciate that.
So thank you, Linda.
Well, that's back.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Next week, we're talking about South America. And
South America, yeah.
We have one of our guests, Michelle Shelburne. With Ladatko Tours is supposed to be our guest. And we're going to talk about the unique, exciting, different ways to visit and see and do and travel South America. So do listen next week on South America. And again, Linda, thanks so very much.
You're welcome.
Talking about China.
I love it. And you guys have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, thank you, Lynn. You too.
All right.
Jerry, until next week, Jerry. Okay.
Yep. We'll see you later.
Have a good week. Okay.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.